This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host. Glad to have you back with us. If you stayed with us through the break, glad to have you. If you're just joining us, let me remind you, our guest today is Dr. Stephen Nichols, author of the book Bonhoeffer on the Christian Life. It's an analysis of the thinking of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dr. Nichols, let's come back, and what I would like you to talk about, since most people understand and know about Bonhoeffer, if they know about him at all, for his involvement in the plot to assassinate Hitler, would you talk to us about how he wrestled through his theology about that involvement? Because he knew that his involvement with these people would end, if successful, in the assassination of a head of state. And that's a weighty matter. Let's talk about it and give our audience some insight on how Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought that through.
Sure. And this is one of the areas that's difficult to get a handle on, but we need to look at it. And as we look at the data and look at what he said, we can begin to sort of reconstruct the picture. Bonhoeffer had some significant relationships with actually some brothers-in-law of his that were well situated. One of them was a colonel in the Abwehr, which was the military intelligence. And many folks don't realize this, but the Abwehr was fairly against Hitler and the Gestapo and tried to work against the Gestapo. And the first attempt was to try to have a military coup. And Bonhoeffer had many contacts in Britain, so they used Bonhoeffer and his British contacts to get a message to Churchill to try to get Britain's support behind this military coup. And Churchill and his war cabinet deliberated, and at the last moment they decided it was too risky and wouldn't do it. When the word got to Bonhoeffer that Britain would not support the coup, the conspirators knew they wouldn't be able to pull it off on their own. So this group decided, as a last resort, really, to assassinate Hitler. Now they saw Hitler as an enemy of the German people. They saw this as a time of war, and there's a certain ethic at a wartime. And they also knew what Hitler was doing to the Jews. This was nothing they entered in lightly. And Bonhoeffer was not a military person, so he really contributed nothing of military significance to the plots. But he was sort of the pastor in the room, and these folks who were involved in this needed their consciences cleared for what they were about to do, and that's sort of what as we can try to reconstruct it, that's the role Bonhoeffer played. But we should point this out: he wasn't so self-assured, Bonhoeffer. In fact, he said, this act of being involved in these conspiracies, assassination attempts, may very well damn his own soul, but he saw no other choice, and he relied upon God's grace to grant him the forgiveness for being involved in this. And so they went through with it. Of course, the plots were unsuccessful, and eventually Bonhoeffer and others that were involved in the conspiracy were hanged for their work in the plots.
Now, in that mind, one of the things I was struck by in the biography, and if you can discuss it again from his thinking standpoint, was the graciousness with which he accepted the fact that many other people disagreed with him, that it was controversial, his involvement, and he always spoke with grace towards those who disagreed, who may not have taken that position with him.
Yeah, one of the things, and I think this is true of Bonhoeffer's entire life, is he really was not arrogant. He was certainly not self-righteous. He had a sense of humility, a sense that he may very well be wrong, a sense that he was not the ultimate arbiter of things, and he understood that it was a pretty complicated question in terms of what action was the best for Germany. And you even see this in some of his prison letters, that he still is wrestling with what is a truly pro-national act. So I think you're right. He certainly was not one to be self-righteous.
what do you think? And I'll let you get into analysis of culture, because I think that's one of your titles. I mean, you're research professor of Christianity and culture. What do you think Bonhoeffer, in that view of how to approach government and the turmoil of the culture, what do you think Bonhoeffer would say to our own generation in the world in which we live, in the turmoil which we face?
You know, one of the things Bonhoeffer writes about is what truly living by faith is. And he comes to grips with this in a beautiful prison letter. And he makes the point that living in the midst of life's perplexities, difficulties, disappointments, and failures, and yet recognizing that in many ways that almost resonates with Christ and his own life and suffering and cross, that is what living by faith truly is. And when you look at that list of things, ambiguities and perplexities and difficulties and failures and disappointments, you know, those aren't things that anybody wakes up and says, hey, I want my full share of all those today. You know, those are things we actually live our whole lives to try to avoid, right? But you even read Paul, he'll talk about this in 2 Corinthians 12, where he says, my grace, you know, where God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul goes on to say, I'll boast in my weaknesses and my turmoil and my persecutions. You know, there's something to recognizing what it means for Christ to be at work in us. And I honestly think that's a lesson that we, especially in the 21st century American church, we need to gear up for, because we are entering, I think, into a new cultural moment that's going to be quite different from the last few decades we've enjoyed as Christians in America. And I think Bonhoeffer's perspective can help us.
You quoted Bonhoeffer at one point, and even, I mean, he's talking now, not in our culture of today, he's back in the 1930s in Germany, but he says even there, and if you want to comment on it, the quote was, Christianity has adjusted itself much too easily to the worship of power.
Yes, yeah. You know, this was very true of the German church. It just buckled under Hitler and did not resist him, and became known as the Reichskirche, basically was a puppet church. Bonhoeffer saw that as the end result of a few generations where the German church had sort of lost its moorings theologically. And what you're seeing there is a couple generations of a culturally accommodated church and culturally accommodated faith. It just had horrific consequences. When it came time for the church to raise its prophetic voice, it had no prophetic voice left to raise. And I think that's a real lesson for us. It's so easy to become culturally accommodated and not recognize that there is a countercultural call to be a disciple, to be a Christian. And, you know, sometimes we as a church are called upon to raise our prophetic voice to culture and point out where culture's making a misstep and operating under wrong values. And I really think Bonhoeffer understood that very well, which I think makes him a compelling model for us for today.
In his thought there, and the way he saw that, and the issues of power, of course, that goes with his thoughts of weakness. But that also then tied, did it not then, with his view of what Orthodox Christianity actually was. And there's controversy. Liberal Christians would claim him as one of theirs, and Orthodox Christians do. Where do you come down? Was Bonhoeffer a liberal in his day, or was he an Orthodox Christian rooted in the gospel and grace?
You know, that's such an important question, because if you're saying he's a model for the Christian life, then I think you need to see that rooted and grounded in an Orthodox theology. The three areas I looked at, Bonhoeffer's doctrine of Scripture, his understanding of the person of Christ, and his understanding of the work of Christ and the doctrine of justification. And the thing that really surprised me is how Orthodox he was on those, when everything in his context was much more liberal. You know, his family was liberal, his educational background was liberal. And yet here he is making very conservative statements about Scripture. At one point he calls Scripture a fully valid witness. Now, that's a pretty strong statement about Scripture. And, of course, justification was very central. He calls it the central doctrine. And without the doctrine of justification, you can't have Christianity. And he even makes this point. It's a wonderful quote. I love this quote. It comes from one of his prison letters. He's already been in prison for well over a year. And he says I'll just read it to you. He says to his family, "You must never doubt that I'm traveling with gratitude and cheerfulness along the road where I'm being led. My past life is brimful of God's goodness, and my sins are covered by the forgiving love of Christ crucified." Now, just such a great line, isn't it? Brimful of God. Here he is in a Nazi prison, and he's talking about being brimful of God's goodness, and what really anchors him is that his sins are forgiven by a crucified Christ. So it's a wonderful statement about the gospel, very central to Bonhoeffer, very meaningful to him.
And could hardly be more orthodox.
But exactly. Yeah, now, we certainly admit him as a credible profession of faith to our churches, that's for sure.
We're down to the last minute, Dr. Nichols. What would you say to our audience as we close out? Just kind of summarize this. I know you would encourage them to study his life and to understand his thought. I know you would do that. What more might you say to them about what Dietrich Bonhoeffer could teach us in this day and time, particularly about the question of peace?
Yeah. I think that the thing that I think Bonhoeffer is most helpful is how Christ-centered and cross-centered he is. When you look at all the things we're dealing with, they're really symptoms. And what is our ultimate issue is, as a people, as human beings, we are at enmity with God. We are deserving of God's wrath. And the ultimate solution to that is peace with God. That's the only thing that will give us rest and meaning. And the only way we can have peace with God, as Paul lays out very clearly in Romans, is through the work of Christ on the cross. And he says it so beautifully in Romans chapter 3. And Bonhoeffer, that was so central to Bonhoeffer. So I think, you know, we're back to the basic doctrines, aren't we? The holiness of God, the sinfulness of humanity, and the justification and cross work of Christ.
And the grace of God.
Exactly. That's what it all comes down to.
Our guest today has been Dr. Stephen Nichols, the author of Bonhoeffer and the Christian Life. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. I recommend it to you. Thanks for being a part of the program today. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.